Okay, so we'll continue with our show. The next talk is titled Nixo as a Simulate. To introduce our longtime Nixo as contributor, I'll first start is how to pronounce his nickname. If you are in Germany, in German speaking, you will pronounce it Ashlik.
Ashlik.
Yeah, Ashlik. And then if you're English speaking, it's the pronunciation correct is eight.
Eight. Yeah.
So, okay. And it's actually a person that does not need to be introduced, because you can just read its pull requests and commits, and you will know everything you need to know about it. So, without further ado.
Yeah. So the Nixo as a Simulate issue was open like about a year ago, since a year ago, and so I decided to finally crunch it together, but didn't manage to fully crunch it together right now, but it's getting there next week, and it's actually a system which is comprised of actually three parts and two major parts. One is the partitioner, which is NixPart, and the other one is a device mapper module, which is I'll get to the second one in a minute. So this is the boring part. It's just a partitioner. It's using Blivit or Blivit. It's a Python library for doing partitioning in a tree like manner. So you have a device tree and you build everything or every storage device on top of the device tree, and so far how this it actually was in NixOps, or it is actually used in NixOps, and so far we only had the way to do manual partitioning, or if you want to get NixOS on a machine that where you don't have physical access to, you usually need to either keep the existing partition layout or shrink one partition and and create another one and other things like that. And for that, I initially introduced NixPart to NixOps, and this was actually a quick and dirty hack. It was by monkey patching Blivit at that time from getting rid of all the dependencies on Anaconda, which is Blivit is basically a library which is used for the Red Hat's installer, which is called Anaconda, and they separated the partitioning stuff into the Blivit library. And so the code, if you want to see it, I can show it to you. It's monkey patching, but so we're heading towards NixPart 1.0, which is basically this is the old format, which is using this is what the Hetzner deployment is actually using for partitioning. This is the kickstart format, which is quite compressed. And we actually want something more, let's say, NixOS modular, which also has one major downside, which is basically it's not so compressed. So this is the new partitioning or the new storage attribute, or that the new storage attribute that will be introduced more or less in this way to Nix packages. My plan is actually to have it side by side by file systems, because I don't actually know what to do with file systems, whether to keep it or actually use just the storage definition to statelessly create the partition or the partition and file system layout. The problem here actually is that you see, I think it's VDA and VDB, and that's the problem where you actually either have to specify device IDs or introduce labels or some other ways to manage the state, or to actually, if you, for example, add another disk, you the NixOS system is unable to mount the disks, because it will just say, well, VDA or SDA could be in any order. So this is actually a small demo of the Nix part implementation. Beg your pardon? Larger? That's actually in QEMO. Maybe it doesn't support it, yeah. Ah, okay. Anyway, is it now readable? So this is actually as it's actually a quite simple storage configuration with ButterFS, and the existing file system layout is actually unpartitioned, and so we call the Nix part. The Nix part itself is called is using Nix instantiate to actually evaluate the expression, which is dumps it into XML, which is more or less Nix instantiate -- or --- XML, and uses that for creating its device tree. So we should have ButterFS, and oh well, that's a buggy version anyway, but it should work. Yeah, so we can mount Yeah. Anyway, I think that's the reason why it's more or less boring, because it's a partition. What do you expect? Yeah, shut down. Nah. So, now it's getting quite interesting, because as I mentioned already, it's the question whether to keep file systems as a low level attribute or not, because actually a file system itself is more or less creating mount units by creating an FS tab and then using the converter for the systemd mount units, and this actually has a few drawbacks. For example, if you have network file systems or multiple volumes and things like that, you probably want to have proper mount units for them. And also, if you want, for example, to change your partitioning layout, you have to have the original input, like I have a Lux container and an LVM in it and whatever you want to box into that whole chain, and so basically I would go for a stateless approach. Right now, how we do it in the Hetzner target, it's like do the partitioning and afterwards spit out a Nix expression, which contains all the file system and swap and whatnot attributes. So. This is now we are getting to what's something that's a bit more complicated. So having a partitioner is quite boring, but the interesting thing is we can assimilate basically every OS more or less. So which is basically, and now we're getting to the interesting part, because I don't have any nice and graphical slides here. NixOS Assimilate is basically a device mapper module should be a device mapper module once it's working correctly, which basically works in three steps, and let's get to the steps, and this is the first step is actually marking everything that's you have the old partitioning layout, you mount everything read only and read all data you want to still keep. So it's marking every block that's basically used. And that has the advantage that we can figure out which one or which part of the disk is not used or you don't want to keep. So for example, if you just want to keep the Nix store, if you want to go from let's say, Windows to NixOS or Debian to NixOS, and change the partitioning layout. It's basically you want to keep just the Nix store. And there have been other approaches towards this, pulling up an image and trying to boot from a particular image and other. I would consider them hacks like that. And even the Hetzner one is a hack, because we rely on the rescue system, and we can't simply say, well, we're already on the system, let's assimilate this one, and it's doing a k-exec or reboot into a kernel with a special init RD and the device mapper module, and we are getting to those three phases. So once we have marked everything, we get to phase two, which is we are writing the new partition table in the unused portions of the disk. So the ones you obviously don't want to keep. So in theory, I haven't thoroughly tested this. This should work with all file systems. Like, they shouldn't normally do something, well, let's read at a random location on the disk, I hope. And, and everything, the write phase, does have another table which marks everything, or which tracks everything that has been written, and also the offsets to, or the block, offsets of where it usually should be. This is something device mapper already has. You can remap every block on the disk to every virtual address. And the last one is the remap part, which is simply doing everything in reverse, write everything to the locations where they should be, which is not so, we have to consider the order, because if we have a marked block in the from the second phase, which corresponds to the new physical location, we actually will override ourselves with ourselves, which is could be quite interesting in the end. So actually, those three phases should get us to the point where we can seamlessly, or more or less seamlessly, if we have something like rollback. if we have something like rollbacks, it could be actually safe. I mean, theoretically, my goal was to, hey, does somebody have a laptop he wants to migrate to another partitioning scheme? Let's test it. Well. Huh? Beg your pardon?
I hope everybody's got backups.
The problem here is that if we want to have rollback, we can't do this on a disk that's more than that's allocated more than half of its size. So we could do some workarounds, like deduplicate stuff and compress stuff, but that will be something for future optimizations. But right now, my initial goal is, or my 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 short-term goal is to make this destructive in terms of just keep the Nix store and we don't care about rollbacks, at least in the first stage. This is particularly useful for hosting providers. So you usually like Hetzner and many more. You get a server somewhere, a physical server, or maybe a VM. Well, there could be a drawback, for example, if you can't change the kernel. But if you get a physical machine, you usually for most of these hosts you don't get hardware access, so you can't run in there with a USB stick and just plug it in, install NixOS on it, and that's it. But they usually come with pre-installed whatever, yeah. And most of them have rescue systems, but not all of them. And so this is an actual solution for having more, or having basically a generic backend for NixOps, which is... Yeah, you just point it to some host. You just need to have SSH access, and that's everything you need to have. And you just say, "Well, I need this partitioning layout, like shown before." And and this NixOS configuration, which is the same configuration, or that at least that's the goal. So you just have your storage definition and in your NixOS config, and you're basically doing the same as you would have NixOS install with a config file where it would be would do partitioning, just. You're doing NixOS assimilate instead. So NixOS install is for live, for live booted USB sticks, or live image, and NixOS assimilate is for live systems, basically. One advantage is because I thought about doing this by streaming the closures via network, but this is quite unreliable. And also the partitioning remapper has the advantage that we basically just need the RAM to start Nix part, and that's it. And maybe if you have more RAM, then you have more disk cache, which also gives a bit performance improvement. But it won't be a deal breaker for everything. So what I said already, NixOS install and the config, that would be everything for future NixOS installs. Encryption is one thing which isn't such a big problem. You just need to do, for example, if you want to randomize the data first and do your Lux containers or whatever, decrypt, on top of it, and then you could because we already know the unallocated sectors, we can just write random data in it, and we're done. And and if you have something like a spare drive or anything, we could use that as well to speed things up, because so we can if we have enough. Space on there, we can basically skip the second step and just copy everything to the right location. Yeah, that's basically it. And I will push the code. Starting on next week for the new implementation, and also try to get the kernel module running, but no promises here. Please don't clap. No.
Okay, we have quite some time for questions, so please.
So on something like a Hetzner environment, what is the advantage of this compared to starting from a rescue system?
The advantage is, for Hetzner, you basically have no big advantage because you have the advantage that you have a better partitioner, which is Nixfart, and it doesn't solve anything new for the Hetzner target. It's actually more useful for adding new targets.
Okay, and then maybe a small second question. Do you think it would make sense to get Nixfart into mainline Nixos?
That's the goal, basically. So there is already the branch on Nix packages which has these changes for the storage attributes. And but they are still subject to change. And maybe if people disagree, we don't want it that way.
So I have a question and a note. I'll start with a note. OpenStack has a module called Irony for doing bare metal deployments, including doing Pixieboot and IPMI for being able to get access into the bare metal for doing these kind of partitioning things. The question I have... Bit confused still how you determine the reachability of a sector to be able to separate the live sectors from the unused sectors.
By having a device mapper module which I use instead of the real physical disk device, and via the device mapper module, I'm able to get all accesses from. I'm basically mounting the volume and doing a read of all files I want to keep, and at the same time at the module level I get the file extents.
Any more questions?
It's not completely clear to me how this is going to be used after conversion, because file systems usually have something like reference counts and checksums and so on. And when you just preserve some blocks of a file system and clear out the other blocks, how is this going to work?
I was already mentioning. If there would be a read which is random, I don't know any file system which does random reads, but that would be a problem. But otherwise, if you read, if you're doing a complete read of all the files you want to keep, at least in theory, it should be deterministic in that sense that everything that the file system driver is going to read will be the same as if we do it with a second operation, a read operation on the same volume. Basically, we don't read write mount the volume.
Okay, then we perhaps have to go a step back. It's not completely clear to me what you're trying to achieve. Let me try to paraphrase it. You are reading a portion of an existing file system, then you're going to clear out the rest and create a new file system with only that portion that is going to be retained, right?
Yeah.
Of course. You're copying the you're creating the new file systems and copying everything over to the new file system and then switch back everything over the old one or remap everything on top of the old one. That's more clear. I try to do it in more or less. Let's say this is a disk which has these allocated blocks, and we are going to the file system has more blocks in it. Let's say we have dots for files we are not interested in.
So in phase two, we are basically writing stuff in there. And so which are the blocks that usually come need to come are in a totally different order, and in the third phase we basically do this is the remap step. So we have So there shouldn't be anything left from the first step. That's of course without the option to roll back. Is that more clear?
I guess this is a talk a bit maybe for after coffee or for lunch, right? But one more question.
That was part of the question. So I think I kind of understood what you meant, which is like you mark all the blocks to access all the files that you want to keep.
And yeah, all the raw data. Yeah.
So, for example, if I need something in /nix/store, I will mark slash, I will mark nix, I will mark store, I will mark the path within the nix store.
And well, you just read the file, and the file system underneath it will say, well, I need to read this B tree and this block and whatever, and that's where the module comes in, because at that level we are intercepting what is going to be read.
Okay.
And when you rewrite in the second step, the files to the non-marked blocks, will you take care that parts belong together, like big files could be more than a gigabyte, go to the same coherence block, or is it completely wurscht?
Yeah, it's
because you write everything together in the end.
Well, it doesn't matter because we are operating on the block level.
Okay.
We don't know the file or the system.
So, but you don't change the order of blocks. So you can, so when you write everything in one line in the end, it will come out as this, the big file is still in one. Can you be sure that, that one file is always in the same consistency?
Okay, we'll do a bit longer break. I guess it's we can now have time for some extra coffee. We start at 12:15. Let me just double verify. Yeah, 12:15. So we have 20 minutes, bit more, 25 minutes of break. And yeah, thank you.